This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Monday, December 8, 2014, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, the Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This feast day of the Immaculate Conception, hear all kind of talk about the theology and the scripture and all that kind of stuff. It's good. It really is. It's an excellent thing to understand that the doctrine of the Immaculate Conception is a doctrine of the Church that came to fruition as an articulation of something that the Church always believed. Okay? The doctrine of the Immaculate Conception being, simplistically stated, without going into the big dissertation, that by an act of singular grace, our Lord kept the Blessed Virgin Mary from any spot of sin, original or actual, from the time of her conception. Okay? That's the doctrine. Little footnote on that. Okay? You don't have the option to decide whether you believe that. Well, that came later on in the Church. I don't buy it. Guess what? It's not a matter of, well, I'm not a good Catholic, or you're not a good Catholic if you don't believe. You're not a Catholic if you don't believe it. So do a little soul searching on that one right here and right now, because that's a fact. It is a dogma of the Church. It is not an option. It is not a pious opinion. It is a dogma of the Church. And again, as I said, a dogma of the Church is just an eventual articulation of what the Church has always believed. It's just defined precisely when questions are asked, and then it's put down, hence it's a dogma. So, if you're a Catholic, you have to believe the Immaculate Conception. You go, well, I don't get it because I don't read exactly explicitly in Scripture. There's a whole lot of things in Scripture that aren't explicit. Little things like Trinity, okay? You don't find that word in the Bible one time that everybody believes it. All Protestants believe it. Well, most Protestants believe it, okay? So just because the Bible doesn't say something explicitly, doesn't have a sentence somewhere that says, the Blessed Virgin Mary was immaculately conceived, then you don't have to believe it. Wrong. It's not the way things work. So, all that being said, you have to believe it. But if you serve a God, there's a supernatural God. A God that, as we responded in the Psalm today, does marvelous things. Then why is it so difficult to believe in the Immaculate Conception? If you believe in a God that can create all things out of nothing, if you believe in a God that parted the Red Sea to where the waters were like walls on each side of the people of Israel when they came out of Egypt, if you believe in a God that can make blind people see, deaf people hear, and they can raise himself from the dead, why is it so difficult to believe that he could keep his mother free from sin? The bottom line on that question, why would he not? It's a bomb. If you could do it, don't you think he would? I mean, it's deeper than that, much deeper than that, but he could do it. He does marvelous things. The Immaculate Conception is just that. It was a marvelous thing. We heard yesterday in the readings about making Old and New Testament, making the paths straight, making the paths straight, making the rough places plain. If God is going to leave that up to men in our fallen nature and in our sinfulness to work through things like that, do you not think that he would think it was an important enough event, him leaving heaven, taking on flesh and becoming one of us, that pathway would be the straightest pathway in the entire world, and that rough way would be as smooth as glass? Of course he would. Of course he would. He took his flesh from the Blessed Virgin Mary. That flesh that you see hanging from the crucifix is Mary's flesh. Because if you believe in the virgin birth, didn't have a father. So the only flesh that he has was that of his mother. It had to be spotless. It had to be spotless, and the way it became spotless was through the Immaculate Conception. Because enemies of the cross could always say, well, he wasn't spotless because he took his flesh from a mother that was at one time, even in the womb, corrupted by original sin. No, it cannot be. That's why the Immaculate Conception. And it is validated in Scripture. Hail, full of grace. Hail, full of grace. We say that every time we say the Hail Mary. And a lot of people like, in the Greek it doesn't say that. It says highly favored. Okay, as I just explained, if God highly favored his mother, you don't think she was full of grace? We have grace partially. She had it fully. That's why the authoritative Vulgate translation, Hail, full of grace. She is full of grace. We have it partially. She had it fully. She even had it. How will this be? I don't have a husband. He goes into this example of Elizabeth. All right? Elizabeth, who was called barren, an old lady. She's 6 months pregnant. And then he just says, you know, he gives an example, but then he says, because with God, nothing is impossible. So who are we to step back and go, well, it would be impossible to keep her free from original sin at the time of her conception? That's a ridiculous premise. He's God. He could do it. He could do anything. And he's got a reason to do it, not just because she's his mother, but because that's the flesh that he took upon himself. There's the second person of the Trinity. Now the Anthropos, the God-man. For with God, nothing is impossible. The cross hadn't come yet, and she says she needed a Savior. Her son is her Savior. He looked forward to the cross, just like we look back to it. So no Old Testament people are ever in heaven because they didn't look forward to the cross as we look back to the cross. So it's not a matter of timing for God. He saved us by the cross. It doesn't matter if you came before it or after it. He's saved by the cross. Our Blessed Mother was saved by the cross. He just, as I said, by an act of singular grace, chose to keep her from any spot of sin. He kept her from falling into it. He's God. He does marvelous things. He had to have immaculate flesh. During the Mass, during the canon, the pure victim, the holy victim, the immaculate victim, this emphasis on pure, holy, immaculate. How could he be if the flesh he took upon himself was not just that? So when you look at it like that, it is really, truly a simple fact. Not only a simple, well, yeah, that goes without saying he should have done, he had to have done that. He had to have done that to be our pure victim, holy victim, immaculate victim, because he took his flesh from his Blessed Mother. Consequently, she had to be immaculate, and she was. It's what the Church teaches. It's what the Scriptures teach. It really is a consequence of our belief. That's what dogma are of the Church. So, never come away from this thinking that it's an option or a pious opinion. Because guess what? If she wasn't immaculate, neither was he, and everything that we hear and talk about is absolutely for naught. For absolute nothing. Because he had to be pure, holy, and immaculate. And he was of her flesh. That's why it's so important. That's why it's not a pious opinion. So come away from this tonight understanding that. Understanding that you have to believe it to be a Catholic. Not a good Catholic, to be a Catholic. And be comforted. Bask in the fact that she was immaculately conceived. And who were beneficiaries of the sacrifice of the pure victim, the holy victim, and the immaculate victim. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.